Good morning. Man, what a pleasure. What an honor. And it's really humbling to stand before you this morning to share the word of God that he has put in my spirit for the last, I think, since you asked me. So, it is finished. It's done. It's complete. So our verse today is from John 19:30, and it continues from the place that Pastor Kent spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Just after Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. So when I considered this message today, my first question was, what was finished? And it was really comical to me because I get to share with my chiropractor. We see each other every 2 weeks. So besides you people, he's who I see on a regular basis. He keeps me kind of upright if I remind myself how to stand proper. So Dr. Josh, I was with Dr. Josh and he asked what my week held and I said, well, I'm going to be preaching. And he said, well, what are you talking about? And I said, one of the last phrases of Jesus, it is finished. And he said, what is it? I was like, that was my question, Pastor Josh. I'm so excited. I can tell you what it is. So, let's look at the context of the scripture, and we have to go back into last week's message and where Pastor Kent had started. In John 19:28, it said, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill it, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. So the it was his mission. He had a mission. I think God the Father said, I have a mission for you, and if you choose to accept it, right? Catherine, you're not done yet. So for those of you who may be a movie watcher, Mission Impossible is all about the character, the protagonist, Ethan Hunt, and his IMF agents. Does anybody know what IMF is? What is it? It's the Impossible Mission Force. I kind of heard it over here. So they always had an impossible mission to accomplish. And it wasn't one mission, was it? Are we the only ones who watch Mission Impossible? Who's seen it? Come on, raise your hand. There is mission after mission after mission to be accomplished. There is hanging off of helicopters and climbing up sides of buildings and their buildings blowing up. Ethan Hunt always has an impossible mission to accomplish. Thank you, Catherine. So I think Jesus came with a mission. But his mission was more than one thing. He had many things to accomplish while he was on the earth. And I'm just going to preface this before we get going. Is there always another Mission Impossible coming out? Yeah, there's one coming out this summer. So this is what I know. Jesus accomplished the mission he had on earth, but guess what? He's on mission right now. This mission was accomplished, but he is on mission He is preparing a place for those who choose to call him their Lord and Savior. Right now, he's preparing that place for you. He is on mission. I want you to be prepared for this journey because it's going to be a lot of scripture, not a lot of commentary about it. And when I thought about, well, how do I really look at the mission that Jesus accomplished, I thought, I'm going to just stick with one book. And our scripture is out of John, so we're going to start at John 1:1, and we're going to work our way to where we were today in John 19. So John 1:1-5 says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. Also in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So Jesus' first mission from the very first part of the book of John is Jesus came to be the light in the darkness. He is the light of the world. Jesus said, but while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. That's from John 9:5. He knew his light would only be with them for a little while. So they needed to walk with him while they could. In John 12:46, it says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark because Jesus came on mission to be the light of the world. And with his light, Jesus came to show the glory of the Father and to reveal God to man. John 1:14, and then also in 17 and 18. So the world became human, so the Word, not the world, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Isaiah 45 had prophesied, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Jesus is the revelation of what Isaiah spoke of. He is the glory of the Lord, and he came to do that. So part of his mission was to reveal to all of humanity as he walked through life, knowing that he and the Father were one. He was always mindful of his mission. There's other references as well. John 8:49, he came to honor the Father. In John 12:27-28, he sought to bring glory to the Father's name. In John 17, 4, he glorified the Father by completing his work. He showed humanity the love that the Father has for us. He came to reveal who God is. Over and over, Jesus spoke that he came to speak God's word to man. He came to testify who the Father was and to speak his words. John 7:16 says, so Jesus told them, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. John 8:26, I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't. For I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. I do nothing of my own, but say only what the Father taught me. He says that again in verse 28. I do nothing on my own, but I say what the Father has taught me. Jesus came, so many of us think that Jesus came to condemn the world. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. Jesus came to reveal the love of God to the world. Jesus' next mission was to speak the very words and truths of God. Throughout the entire book of John, Jesus tells of his mission to tell what he has heard and what he has learned from God. Jesus knows his words lead to eternal life. In John 12:50, that his words are not his own, but that they're his Father's. I've already said that. Jesus is speaking with Philip in John 14:10-11. When Philip asked, who can see the Father? Jesus asked him, do you still not know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me and who does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Jesus had said this to Pilate at his trial. I came into the world to testify to truth. So Jesus not only spoke the words of the Father, but he came to do the will of the Father. I told you this was going to be scripture laden. Because we're already on point four, right? We're going to go fast. John 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John. This was John the Baptizer speaking. I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. That was not John the Baptizer. Jesus was speaking, looking back at what John the Baptizer had done, and that his works were greater, his teachings were greater than what even John the Baptist had taught. John 8:28-29 show how speaking what the Father taught him and doing what pleased the Father went hand in hand. Isn't that true? If our words don't match our actions, will people believe our words? No, Jesus taught and then he showed, and he showed and he taught. I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father has taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me. for I always do what pleases him. Jesus' words and actions were all part of the mission that the Father had for him. Throughout the entire, I'm going to say, Gospels, we can see that Jesus came to do the will and the work, the miracles of God. And none of it did he do on his own. Through it all, he was connected with the Father. So when he touched the leper, the Father is touching the leper. When he healed blind eyes, when he opened deaf ears, when the lame could leap, it's all done through Jesus, connected to the Father. Every one of those works were part of his mission as the Son of Man as he lived on earth. But ultimately, he came as man to reconcile man to God by being our sacrifice for sin. And I think often when we think of it is finished, it's just this point. We think just about the sacrifice, that part was done. But Jesus knew he had fulfilled everything of the Old Testament that he needed to. All of the work that he was to accomplish on earth was finished. And salvation is part of that. John the Baptist recognized who Jesus was. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," in John 1:29. Jesus knew his mission as he even prayed for his disciples. And this was towards the end of his time on earth in John 17:29. "And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth." Yes, Jesus came to be the Lamb of God and to be the sacrifice for sin. Jesus knew that death was required. When him and the Father talked in the heavens before and he accepted the mission, he knew the outcome. He knew what lie at the end of his life was suffering, was sacrifice. He explains it to his disciples this way. He uses the picture of a seed that's planted in soil. It first must die before it reproduces. It first must die. But it is death that will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. With his sacrifice, Jesus provides salvation for mankind. John 3:17, "God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." So his mission, I had already said it, I'm going to say it again, was not to judge. He did not come at that time to judge. But remember, I told you, he still has another mission. There's still another sequel to the story of mankind. There will be a day. There will be a day that he will come to judge the earth. He will come to judge mankind. But he's provided a way ahead of time for us to walk in salvation, to walk covered in his blood. He provided that way once for all time. Jesus does not go back to the cross every single time that we sin and we need to call out for his blood to cover us. The sacrifice that he provided provides it over and over and over. Unlike the Old Testament way. In the Old Testament, it took a lamb. I'm right now reading. I've just gotten done reading through what the Levites had to provide and the offerings and the animals that had to be slaughtered for sin time and time again. For one little misdeed, you had to bring that offering. But Jesus has done the work once for all. Hebrews 10:9-10 says, "Then he said, 'Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Jesus' death is the provision of eternal life. And eternal life was part of his mission. He spoke of it early. I think he spoke of it often. In John 3:12-16, part of this will, part of that is familiar to you because John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," right? But let's start at verse 12. "But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven." And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We only have to believe. We only have to believe, and we can grasp hold of what he's done for us. We can have eternal life. Jesus' mission was to provide eternal life. In John 3:36, "Anyone who believes in the Son has eternal life. It is yours. You can grab hold of it now." In 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes will live even after dying." So I have started out with the seven. Right there, there's seven missions, but there's more. I didn't want to make this a super long message, so we're going to go really fast. Are you ready for this? "He was the living water, according to John 4:10-13, and John 7:38-39. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink." That's basically what he was telling the woman at the well. "I am living water. I've come to provide you with living, eternal water that will refresh you daily." I may need my water, Kent. "He was the bread of life," John 6:32-35, verse 48-51. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again." And those of us who love food say amen. But he is. We live by more than just earthly bread, don't we? We live by the very words that God gives us. They are food to nourish our soul. He is our bread. He is our manna. He's our manna that we need to go every day and pick up that bread of life and feed our internal beings. So he came to bring freedom. Freedom! John 8:36. "So the Son, if the Son sets you free, You are truly free. Amen. You do not have to go back to bondage. You are free. You have been set free. Don't let the enemy shame you and make you think you have to live into bondage of something from the past or something you did. You are free. You've been set free. Walk in freedom. Don't be tied to the things of the world. He's set you free. He came to reveal spiritual blindness and to bring sight to the blind. John 9:39. To give sight to the blind and to show those who think that they see that they are blind. So there's two blindnesses he's speaking of. There's a physical blindness, but more importantly, he came to open the eyes of man who think they know it all. They think they've got a grasp of life, but the truth of the matter is they are blind. They are not seeing what the Lord has. He came to be a good shepherd. John 10:2-5, 11:15-16. So multiple places in this one section. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. He was willing to lay down everything for people. In John 13:13-15, he came to serve. Matthew and Mark, we're gonna go away from John, but we're gonna just look at Matthew and Mark, state it this way: for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came into the world with a mission. And with his mission, he had many missions. I think I named 13. I think there's probably more. I think we could go to other gospels and I think somebody could come up here and school me and say, well, Jesus came up to do this as well. Yes, he did. I am in agreement with you. He did. He came to live a missioned life, and he lived his life that way. John 19:30 says, when Jesus had, this is our verse for today, when we read John 19:30, when Jesus had said it, it was with triumph. When he had said, it is finished, he was not defeated. It's finished. I have done it. I came to accomplish something, and I have done it. I am the victor. Jesus has finished. The word in Aramaic is tetelestai. Tetelestai, if I say it, Pastor Aaron said, with enough authority, you're going to believe that's how it's supposed to be said. But it is the perfect tense. You know what I noticed in every single version or translation of the Bible that I looked? Every single one said, it is finished. There wasn't different. None of them said, it's completed. I'm done. They all said the same thing. It is finished. It is the victor's shout. It is the cry of all who accomplish their task, those who have won their struggles, those who have come from darkness into light and who have grasped the crown. So it is with victory that Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. He's done it for us. It is finished. Have you ever had a project, or some of you youngers, when you get a test or a long project and it's done, and what are you thinking? Oh, it's finished. I got excited. I'm going to show you a picture of mine. Do you see that right there? See that quilt? That was a quilt of t-shirts from my son's schooling. And it took me 7 years to complete it. 7 years. And I would like to say that that was not a mission I could complete on my own. I needed my own IMF team. I'm telling you, it was an impossible mission. I called upon my sister by love. That is my daughter-in-law's mother. She's a quilter. So I'm going to say, I finished a fourth of that quilt. And God love her. She helped me finish it. But when it was finished, there was the victor shout. There was the victor shout. And that's how we feel. That's the excitement. And Jesus' mission was so much greater than a quilt. But they say to give you a little something personal. So there you go. There's my personal, it's finished. I think I felt that way as well when we finished college. Kent finished his master's, and I finished my undergrad, and we were old at the time. And so, you know, I think if you finish when you're 22 or 23, you're like, yeah, checked it, did it. When you finish when you're in your 50s, you're like, whoo, I finished. And when my professor said, you should go back and do your master's, I said, no, I finished. I did it. I'm done. I'm not going to do it again. Christ's life was really an impossible mission. But he did it so that we could live a life on mission. Right? So how do we take it is finished for ourselves? Really, our mission should be the same as Jesus' mission. I almost could go back line for line and show you how our mission fits with his mission. But we're going to look at it just a little bit differently. In Matthew and Mark, there's a verse that sums up the mission of as a Christ follower. So I'm going to read it from Mark 12, 29 through 31. And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So, as we are wrapping up, I want us to look at how we, as Christians, live a life on mission. First of all, if you have not, the first step is to believe in Jesus. Mark 6:29 said, Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." And then when you believe, that's like step one of your mission. Then you need to obey, follow, serve, worship Jesus. He becomes Lord. I think all of those words sum up when you make Jesus Lord of your life, you are going to obey him. You're going to follow what he wants you to do. You're going to serve him faithfully, and you're going to worship him. Jesus said in John 14, 23, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. I think our third mission is we need to love each other. Amen. By this, it's how the whole world's going to know we're different. If we love one another, we're not. There's not one person in this room is perfect. We need to overlook one another's faults. So John 13:34 says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. It's a new commandment. It's not part of the Ten Commandments. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And Jesus simply says it this way in John 15:17. This is my commandment. Love each other. It's not my suggestion. It's not, I hope you do this because it'll make life go better in church. It's his commandment. It's what we need to obey, that we love one another. And then applying to our lives as well, we need to serve others. Because why did Jesus come? Did Jesus come to be served? No. Jesus came to serve. On the very night he was betrayed, he took time with the disciples to teach them in this way. He washed their feet. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand why I'm doing this? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. And when we serve one another, when we serve our world, when we serve the broken world, we're serving the Father. There was a time I was a substitute teacher. I think I've mentioned it before. And I was good. I'm just going to put it right out there. I was a good substitute teacher. I was adaptable. I'm bossy. No, I have leadership skills. I'm not bossy. I have leadership skills. And so I would walk into school and think, they're lucky they got me today. I did. I was very impressed with myself, just quite impressed. And I thank the Lord that he did not have to knock me down. It didn't take somebody from the outside. But I did hear his still small voice one time and say, "Really?" Because I have called you to do this to serve the school. I have called you to do this so that you can serve those students, so that you can serve the teacher who's gone. You serve me by serving them. And when I changed my mindset about how great I was, and I looked at the servant that I needed to be, it really changed my attitude when I walked into the school building. It wasn't so much about, well, this is very inconvenient that you have changed my position today, which sometimes it was, because I honestly didn't take certain things. And then I would walk in, and the Lord would be like, "You're going to work there today, and you should do it cheerfully." Okay. And when that changed in my life is when I changed my perspective. That the school was not there to serve me and make me happy. I was called to go and serve them. So, it says it like this. If you want to be somebody in his kingdom, then you must first become a servant. If you want to be a leader in his kingdom, you must become a servant. Jesus, the Son of Man, came not to serve, but he came to give his life as a ransom for many. If we are going to live on mission, we need to remain in the vine and produce fruit. John 15, 4:8 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings glory to my Father." So I'm going to say, if you're not producing spiritual fruit, are you in the vine? What is spiritual fruit? I think we know. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. If those things are not fruit that you are producing, are you in the vine? We must remain in the vine, because frankly, on our own, we can't produce those things. It's not part of our nature. It's only part of our spirit nature. It's part of the Holy Spirit living through us. So we must be in the Holy Spirit. We must be in the vine. Jesus came to be the light of the world. So my question is, are you light in dark places? We're called to be the light. We're called to stand up on a hill and be a beacon. If people aren't looking at you and seeing light, if they're seeing negative, we have come to be, we in Christ. He came to be the light of the world. He lives within us. We, on mission, are the light of the world. We need to be people of light. As the worship team comes up, we need to be. I could go back through the 13 things I listed. We can't be salvation to people, but we need to bring salvation to people. We cannot be the glory. We are not on our own, but we must reflect the glory of God. See how every mission Jesus had is our mission as well? We need to reveal, Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's our mission. We need to reveal Jesus and the Father to everyone. We need to be living water. The world is dry. The world is hungry for more than what it has. And we have the bread of life to give them. And we have the water that never will run dry. Amen. We need to be sharing that. We need to be those things. We personally can't be it. But Jesus living in us is still on mission to the world. At this time, I'd just like us to just reflect. So if you'd like to bow your heads and close your eyes, take a few minutes and just think, am I living on mission? Am I fulfilling what God has called me to do? And for some of you, it might be that very first one. It might be to believe. You may have never put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I'm just going to, as the music begins to play and every eye is closed, I'm just going to begin scanning. And if you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask that you would look up at me. I'm going to start from your right and just, if you want to look up at me, let me catch your eye. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then I just would challenge you today just to take a few minutes and reflect. Ask the Lord, am I living on mission? And if I'm not, help me. Empower me with your Holy Spirit to live a life on mission.